Hello and welcome to today's Boohoo.com Q1 trading update. For the first part of this conference, all participants are on listen-only mode, so there's no need to mute your own individual lines. Afterwards, there'll be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, the call is being recorded. I'll now hand you over to Neil Catto, Chief Financial Officer. Please begin.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining our first quarter trading update conference call. Just for clarity, we'll be talking today about the three-month period which ended on the 31st of May 2016. On the call this morning, I'm joined by Carol Kane, our Joint CEO. I'm going to take you briefly through our performance for the quarter. This is just a very brief Q1 update, and clearly we'll have more detail when we publish our half-year results in September. Then after the update, we'll open up the call for any questions you might have for Carol or myself. You can see from the statement that our total sales for the quarter were 58.3 million pounds, and that was a 41% year-on-year increase, or 42% on a constant currency basis. We're really pleased with that result, which was ahead of our expectations, and we're particularly pleased to have seen the momentum in the business that built up in the previous financial year continue to build in the first quarter of the new financial year. We've been able to continue to make improvements to many aspects of the customer proposition in pretty much all of our markets, and those improvements have enabled us to accelerate growth and improve profitability. Looking at the results by geographical segment, U.K. sales for the quarter were 37.5 million pounds, and that was up 43% year-on-year. Our performance in the U.K. has been extremely robust despite a challenging backdrop in the clothing and footwear market. We've managed to buck the market trends, and we've seen great growth on the back of what we felt has been a great product offering, a great delivery proposition. That growth has been supported by our third-party sales, which have also developed during the quarter. In Europe, we've seen a very promising acceleration in growth, and our sales in the region were 6.9 million pounds. That was up 40% year-on-year, or 43% on a constant currency basis. We've seen strong performances in our focus markets and also throughout the rest of the region. We've also seen continued strong growth in the rest of the world region, where sales grew 37% year-on-year. We're still seeing some foreign currency headwinds there, and that growth on a constant currency basis was 40%. This performance has been driven by continued growth in both of our key markets in the region, which are Australia and the USA. As far as gross margin's concerned, those improvements in the proposition that I mentioned earlier have, of course, resulted in a lower gross profit margin. As we saw in the second half of last year, we've been able to leverage our marketing investments and overheads more readily, and that's actually improved our profitability. Our retail gross profit margin has decreased year-on-year by 300 basis points compared to the same period of the last financial year. We've seen accelerated growth, higher levels of active customers, higher web traffic conversion rates, increased order frequencies, and lower customer acquisition costs. We've also seen in the first quarter of this financial year, higher transaction values as a result of customers buying more items. All of these benefits, if the trends continue, will increase the lifetime value of our customers and underpin further profitable growth. Another factor worthy of mention when talking about gross profit margin is that it's been further affected by 150 basis points by third-party sales. Third-party sales have a lower gross profit margin, and that dilutes our overall gross profit margin. Having said that, third-party sales are still a small part of the overall business. They continue to develop, but they've really supported the growth of the retail business in the first quarter. Customer numbers have continued to grow, and we've seen 4.2 million customers active on the site in the last 12 months. That's up to the 31st of May. That's up by 30% year-on-year from 3.3 million in the previous year. We're seeing really good trends in all of our KPIs, with more customers shopping more often, and they're actually spending more as well. Everything's heading in the right direction there. Operationally, we've also had a good quarter, and the teams in the distribution center have performed exceptionally well. We're nearing completion of the three final mezzanine floors in the warehouse extension, and we're now in the advanced stages of planning the new building project, which will begin later this financial year. We've also been busy in other areas, and we've launched the Boohoo app in Australia and the USA, and we're seeing a really positive response to it there. And we're continuing to see a great response to the app from our U.K. customers. So in summary, it's been a really encouraging performance in the first quarter, which has been a little ahead of our expectations. On the back of that, we now expect sales growth for the full year to be between 25% and 30%, and we expect EBITDA margins to be similar to those that we saw in the last financial year. And that said, we're still going to keep looking for opportunities to drive incremental growth, which may be in the form of investments in our product offering, in price, and our delivery proposition, and it could be in the form of investments in marketing to build awareness of the brand in our international markets. So I think that's everything I wanted to cover on the call. So I'd now like to open it up for any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel. So once again, that's 01 to ask a question, 02 if you need to cancel. There'll be a brief pause now while we register your questions. Okay, our first question comes from Alistair Davis of Investec. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Morning.
Morning, Alistair.
Hi, just two questions. I think just firstly, in terms of that rest of world performance, can you give any more color in terms of the growth between U.S. and Australia? And just secondly, in terms of thinking of guidance for the rest of this year, you're now starting to annualize the launch of third party. So kind of how should we think of that 25%-30% sales growth for the rest of this year between retail and third party?
Okay, yeah. So the rest of the world region, I mean, what I would say there is that both Australia and USA have performed well during the quarter. We don't break out the sales by country, but we've seen good growth in both areas in constant currency. Australia, we have the higher foreign currency headwinds there than the U.S., but overall, we're very pleased with both of the performances there. On the guidance for the rest of the year, we've obviously added in a range now of revenue guidance, 25%-30%, and based on the growth that we've seen in the first quarter, that makes sense. I mean, it's very early in the financial year, and so there's a long way to go, but we think that the third-party sales that kicked in really in the second half, there was a little bit in the first half of last year, so we'll be anniversarying those once we get into August time. But overall, we think that we're still going to build that business, but it's not going to be a significant part of the business going forward in the near future.
Yeah, so for the second half, the contribution realistically from third party, you're kind of low single digits in terms of the overall sales growth.
That's right, exactly.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from David Reynolds of Jefferies. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Thank you. Morning, Neil. Morning, Carol. Hey, I just wondered if I'd ask you a question on the app thing. I just wonder if you could comment more broadly on when you're looking at your customers interacting with you within the app, whether you're seeing any shift in behaviors in terms of order frequency or conversion rates. How do you see that component of your channel growing over time?
Yeah, I think it's early days with the app, and it's fairly new for us, but everything in terms of those metrics looks positive on the app. So the app customers do have a slightly higher order value. It looks like they have a higher order frequency as well. And the conversion rate's actually similar to the mobile website, the responsive mobile website. So it all looks positive, and I think the app has been a good feature of the last quarter, actually. We've seen a good take upon it, and our customers clearly do love shopping with it.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks. And again, just maybe a more prosaic question, I guess. £61 million of cash on the balance sheet at the end of the quarter. You know, is that getting to the levels where you're contemplating uses of that cash, or does it all make sense, Neil, in terms of, you know, the planned capex in the coming years, and you're very comfortable with that level of cash on the balance sheet?
Yeah, that's exactly it, David. We're comfortable with that level of cash on the balance sheet. We've got £70 million approximately to spend in developing the Burnley distribution centre. So until we're further down the road with that project, which is going to take a few years, then we're happy with the cushion on the balance sheet at the moment.
That's helpful, thanks, and congratulations on a great performance. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from John Stevenson of Peel Hunt. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Great. Thanks. Morning, everyone. Just on the US, I appreciate you don't want to give too much detail in terms of the sales and profitability, but maybe you could talk about how you think about the US market development, the sort of pace of customer recruitment and their sort of spending patterns compared to the UK, and maybe your plans for sort of future marketing investment in the UK and how you're going to go about, sorry, the US, and how you're going to go about it.
I think the way we see the US is obviously it's a massive opportunity for us, and the progress so far has been good, and we're always thinking about how we can take the performance to the next level. And so, I mean, customer recruitment has been good, and we've also seen our customers coming back and shopping with a frequency that's, you know, similar to the UK levels in the US, which is healthy. So what we need to do is keep doing more of the same, and really what we're looking at is how do we now build awareness there. We've got a good proposition there, but we can always try and improve that, whether it's price, the delivery options, the returns options, and so on. So that's how we're thinking of it, improving the proposition and then building the awareness. We're still relatively little known in the US, but we're getting more and more well known, and we just need to keep that building the way we've been doing it so far.
Okay, and what sort of marketing percent of sales is going to the US? Because obviously in the early days of the UK, you're running sort of, you know, 20%, I guess.
We don't disclose the individual marketing spend by country, and obviously there's a kind of a relationship there. What I would say is that the cost of acquiring customers has come down in the US as we've improved the proposition, and so we're quite comfortable with the way the marketing spend is there, and we're going to be looking at ways in the second half of the year in particular as to how we can build the awareness there.
Okay, cheers, Neil. Actually, while I'm on, just a quick sort of follow-up on price. Obviously, you talked about price investment in the quarter, but also got rising ASP. Is that down to sort of mix? Can you sort of talk through that?
The average selling prices have been pretty flat, which is a bottoming out of the trend that we've seen over the last couple of years. What we have seen is that we've been able to offer some higher priced items at incredibly good prices. So overall, there has been an investment in price, even though the average selling prices have remained flat. And we've seen that not just with higher priced items, but also at the entry price points. So that's what we're all about, really, giving the best prices that we possibly can.
Okay, brilliant. Cheers, Neil. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Chris Savirash of Barclays. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Good morning, guys. A couple of questions from me. You're talking about the third-party sales. Does it change anything in the strategy, the fact that they are growing so fast? And I hear you, Neil, saying that that it won't be a big contribution to total sales anytime soon, but is that because you do not want them to be? Or would you hold back if, for example, it suddenly runs faster than your own platform? Or is it just a matter of math there? Can you help us understand a little bit how you're thinking about that?
I think the purpose of the third-party sales for us is to reach as many customers as we can, and really we see it supporting the retail business in that way, and that's what it's done, and that's what hopefully it will continue to do that. So it's a question of exposing the brand to as many customers as we possibly can, and our approach with third party sales will be based on that. But obviously, it's really a supporting activity to the whole retail activities of the brand.
Do you see any cannibalization at all, or is that too early for such a thing?
It doesn't look like there's cannibalization. There obviously will be some, but the opportunities as well look like we are reaching other customers that wouldn't otherwise have known about the brand. So overall, it feels healthy. And an opportunity.
Fair. One last one then from me. On the gross margin side, given that we do see some fairly big fluctuations there, although you have very well flagged that gross margin goes down, but also marketing as a percentage of sales comes down. Could you give us some color on what, on how we should think about the gross margin to the full year? Should we expect a similar trend into the rest of the year, or the marketing versus gross margin might reverse a bit?
I think I'll say what we've said previously, and that's the approach that we're taking, that with the level of sales growth that we're guiding towards, the gross margin should be in or about that region. But we're still going to look at opportunities to invest, whether it is in the proposition or price, if we think it's going to give a better deal for the customers and also increase our growth and enable us to reach more customers again, then we'd look at those opportunities. So if with the current revenue guidance, I'm comfortable where the gross profit margin is. But we're reserving that right, that we don't want to get locked into a certain level of gross profit margin if there's an opportunity to give our customers a better deal and overall create a better business.
Fair. So as it stands, right now, before any opportunity pops up, you do see the trend that we've seen in Q1 continuing into the full year, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay, thank you very much, very clear.
Our next question comes from Matthew Eckerin of N Plus One Singer. Go ahead, sir, your line is open.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hi, Matthew.
My question is going to sound like they're repeats of what's already been asked, but I'm just going to come at it from a slightly different angle. So in terms of your international business, clearly some good growth there when you look at it on a constant currency basis. And what you're saying is that the momentum is building. I mean, as a percentage of sales, your international business hasn't really changed much over the last 3 years. I mean, it looks like in the first quarter the weighting is slightly more biased towards international, so that might just give us the perception that it has increased. I guess the big question here is, what is it that is building momentum? Is this about conversion rate and awareness rather than, the overall sales growth rate? I mean, because at the end of the day, we've got to be looking at profitability. You've been very keen to try and drive profit out of these new territories. But at this stage, momentum, I mean, you're saying it's there, but just give us an idea. Should we be expecting the overall growth in this business and profits in keeping with that to be stepping up from Q2 onwards? Is that really what we should be expecting?
Well, we're expecting the comps actually to get more difficult as we go through the year. But we're going to continue doing what we've been doing. What I mean by building momentum internationally is that we're acquiring customers and the customers are coming back and shopping with a good, healthy frequency. And that's what we're going to continue to do. So we'll be looking at doing the same things, and then the growth rate that we're expecting for the year, obviously we've said is 25% to 30%. If we see some of the positive impacts that we've seen previously, that could increase. But overall, we're expecting the momentum to be maintained for the rest of the year.
So really not necessarily an increase in your international penetration across the whole business?
I think the international markets are growing faster than the UK market when you strip out the third-party sales impact. So obviously that's going to be more consistent as we move through the year and when we start anniversarying when we started the third-party sales this time last year. So the international penetration probably will increase marginally, but obviously... Yeah. If the UK market continues to perform well, it won't be the percentage of the international sales won't increase as much as you might think.
Yeah, understood. Okay, and then on third-party sales, there's been a lot of commentary around gross margin and the dilutive effect of that in the business. I mean, obviously, it's a very different gross margin structure, but could you talk more at the bottom line, you know, in terms of the profit contribution, you know, because my understanding is there's not much cost allocated to this part of the business, and actually, as you grow it, you should actually see some leverage off that small cost base and deliver, you know, some profit margin. Could you just talk a little bit about that?
Well, the way I see it is that per unit that we sell on other platforms, we make a similar level of profit per unit that we do on the main website on the retail platform. So in that respect, it's supportive of the main business. It's not something that we're looking to generate massive amounts of profit from in that respect.
Okay, and then let's go to the gross margin. So basically, if over time your gross margin investment has been countered by this marketing efficiency, which you've done very well on, and also by a little bit of extra operating leverage through the rest of the cost base. So it looks like you're preparing to, you know, to accelerate growth and put more investment into marketing in the overseas markets. And it comes back to this question around the gross margin. I mean, once your FX hedges back away, you know, and you annualise the launch of third party, I mean, is it at all possible that gross margins could actually edge up on a reported basis at some point through the second half? You know, at a time when actually you're going to press the button, you know, a little bit more on the marketing.
I think as you've said, the hedging on the dollar currencies in particular and the euros, as that improves our position exchange rates wise, we will get a benefit on the margin from that. But then it's a question of how much other investments in price and those aspects of the proposition that we make relative to the marketing investments as well. So I wouldn't expect the margin to improve going through the year, although there will be an improvement factor from the foreign currency side of things, but we'll probably be looking at making investments on that. So I'd factor in a fairly flat margin for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, that's I get that. But effectively, you're reaching a point where this dynamic between your gross margin and the marketing efficiency is basically running out of steam. It looks like it's not going to have any further. You don't have any further opportunity to offset the, you know, the gross margin investment with marketing efficiencies. It's going to have to all come from operating leverage through the rest of the cost base. Is that unfair? Just to assume that.
I think there's still probably more efficiency that we can get from the marketing line, but as you're rightly pointing out, there's definitely further leverage to get on our other cost line on distribution costs. That's more for the future when we automate the operation in the warehouse, but also on the fixed overhead side of things that we'd expect to get some leverage going forward in the medium term from that as well. So I think there is quite a long way to go on the cost leverage side of things, generally looking more long term.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, brilliant. Well done. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now. We have one further question in the queue. That's from Graham Brown of Liberum. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Morning, all. Just a couple of questions from you. But firstly, can you just talk me through cash margin during the period? Clearly, with ASPs going up, etc., and despite the investment in gross margin, just from a cash flow perspective and how you've been managing the working capital?
So there's not really been any change in our working capital cycle during the period, and you'll see we've said in the statement that we have £61 million of cash at the end of the quarter. So we've generated cash through the quarter, whilst we've been progressing the capital expenditure program, particularly in the warehouse, extending the mezzanine floors. So no change there, continuing to generate cash as we grow.
But it would be fair to say that the cash margin probably stayed the same as you've been managing the stock flows through the business, as opposed to necessarily the resultant P&L gross margin investment.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Yeah, and just one last thing, Carol, just with regards to what's been selling well in the period, clearly there's been a move to slightly higher pricing and the mix shift has probably changed with the stock levels as ASPs have gone up, etc. Has that been more customer push, customer pull? Is that change in the items that customers are buying because of the app, because of mobile? Can you just give us some sort of a sense as to what the customers are fundamentally doing and how you've been reacting to that?
Sure, I would say that all areas across the business have been doing very, very well. In terms of that ASP being slightly up, we have seen some of our higher price points working on dresses, certainly on going out. They've performed really well. But we've also seen a very good season on jackets, which I mentioned in the last update. That has a jacket that naturally have a higher selling price. So it's been very much about product mix. I would say all areas of the business have done very, very well. We've done so many launches in the last 12 months.
Sure.
And some of those early launches, we're reaping some of the benefits now because, you know, we launched swimwear last year and we're having a very good swim season this season. We launched lingerie just at the end of last year, and that's doing very, very well now. So I'd say all areas in the business are doing well. And most recently, you know, because of the slightly warmer weather, we're having a very good dress season.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Nikki Strain of FinCap. Go ahead, your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. Just quickly, following on from the last question, would you be able to give us any more details on how Boohoo managed?
Your line seems to be breaking up, Nikki, so could you repeat that?
Sorry about that. Just following on from the last question, would you be able to give us a bit more colour on how Boohoo Man is going?
Well, as you know, we launched the Boohoo Man site just a few months ago. So it's very early days. We're still, you know, building that business up. We have, you know, put a celebrity face behind it. We have recently launched a kind of styling few pages, an editorial part to the Boohoo Man site, and it's also on the .com site, called Manual. So it's really in its early stages, but it's very encouraging what we're seeing.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now. We just need to register the next question. Bear with us just one moment.
Give me a bit of...
Okay, and the question comes from Bruce Hullard at Odie. Go ahead, sir, your line is open.
Good morning, Carol. Sometimes when fashion companies post stunning growth rates, that's because they are absolutely on their game and have launched a series of really good collections. And sometimes there's a significant element of it that some market shift that is favourable to them. There's effectively an external move in demand. How would you scale those two factors in this quarter, and therefore thinking about whether the exceptional growth represents a hurdle for a year from now, or whether it's merely a symptom of you performing well?
I think it's largely a symptom of us performing well. You know, as a brand, we're always about relevancy. We will always have the fashion that's in demand. So, of course, we talk about the current fashion in our campaigns, but we deliver on that fashion. So when you annualise that year on year, you know, whatever's in fashion in 12 months' time, we're still going to have those key trends and whatever's the customers, whatever's in demand by the customer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now. Okay, there seems to be no further questions on the line, so I'll hand back to our speakers for the closing comments.
Okay, thank you very much. If there's no more questions, I'll just draw the call to a close. Thank you. Bye
now.
Thank you. This now concludes the conference. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.